All right, John does some shout out to the Cowboys, so I'm going to give one to the IU football team. Got a lot more people on my side. My senior year in Bloomington, a long time ago, IU won the National Basketball Championship. I didn't know it'd be the last one. I've watched a lot of bad football for many years, and I just never dreamed that would happen. I prayed for the team to play the best they possibly could and without injury, but I don't really pray for my team to win because both sides want to win, and I don't think God takes sides on who he wants to win. It reminds me of a favorite quote of mine, Abraham Lincoln. One of his generals told him in the Civil War, "I hope God is on our side." And Lincoln corrected him and said, "No, I hope we are on God's side." I was proud of the quarterback Mendoza that every time he had a microphone stuck in front of him, first thing he did is gave all the glory to God. He honored his parents. Then I started hearing some of his teammates follow his example and do the same. His teammates were watching their leader closely and then started to follow in the good example. And our families, friends, co-workers, and all those around us are also watching us closely as Christians. I want to thank you all as a church family that I feel comfortable speaking to you. I want to thank you for all the prayers for me as we try to get through this message so John and Tracy can take a vacation and not have to worry. I humbly say I definitely don't feel qualified or worthy to give a message. I've still got lots of questions myself. Just the nervous part is speaking before God and hope I do a good job.
You're doing great, Rich.
Thanks. When I say I don't feel worthy or qualified, I want to share that now I realize part of the process of preparing for these messages is that Satan steps it up a few notches to tell me I'm not worthy and not qualified. I know he does this to all of us, but you just have to recognize those thoughts are not coming from God. Let's look at James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Only good things come from God, and God never changes. When those negative thoughts come, you have to say, "In the name of Jesus, Satan, get out. You're not welcome here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Today, my message is about wanting to have peace and rest. Could anybody here use some peace and rest? Yeah. Open up those fingers and relax that jaw a little and lower those shoulders down a little. That'll help just for a few minutes. I've brought a couple props today, and one is this piece of rope. I keep it on my dresser at home. It's from a night we had one evening with different stations that you could walk around to. And the actual rope isn't anything special, but it's just a way to remind me that Jesus will bring peace and rest. What you do is you kind of hold it up and tug on the ends and do a sigh. Ah, thank you, Jesus, for the lasting peace and rest only you can bring. It's kind of like the Royal Spa commercial. Ah, Royal Spa. Except again, the hot tub doesn't last very long. That's only temporary. As me and Dennis always say in Bible study, people will try everything out there but Jesus. They'll easily believe other things with major assumptions and variables and not question it or have any scrutiny. But when it comes to Jesus, they question and scrutinize very hard. Some examples of peace and rest. Let's put up Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Exodus 33:14. This was to Moses. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Let's do Psalms 91, 1 to 2. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." Psalms 62, 1 through 2. "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation." John 16, 33, another one. Jesus says to the disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble." Again, anybody besides me ever have trouble? "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So we can say our God is bigger than any problem. And finally, one more, Philippians 4, 4 through 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This life can be tough, and any situation can be worse and real quick. What do the lawyers' commercials say? It happens. Satan's very real and rules this earth. There is a lot of evil going on out there. It's in this world, it's really just hard to have confidence about anything. But our God is bigger than any problem. A huge stress is something we don't like to talk about. These bodies have to fail. None of us are getting out of this life alive. We all have a death sentence. We don't know when it's going to happen or how. I still work full time. I've been a financial advisor for 38 years. And when we plan, we'll offer life insurance and tell people to do wills and things like that. But they don't want to talk about that stuff so much. People will say, "If I die, this or that." All I hear is the word "if." But there's a lot going on in this life. There's fatal accidents, heart disease, stroke, cancer, dementia, MS, Parkinson's, just all the nasty stuff out there. And if you're lucky enough to avoid those and live a long time without those and get into your 80s, 90s, or even beyond, then you're probably witnessing all your loved ones and friends around you battling health issues or passing away. Besides health issues, there's relationship issues, financial issues, addictions, on and on and on. But the great news is we have Jesus as our Savior, that we can accept Him as Savior and know when we die, we'll be in Him in heaven forever. But there's only two choices. You're either going to die twice or be born twice. You can be born once, die, be judged, and die again and spend eternity in hell apart from God. Or you can be born again, die, and be in eternity with Jesus. And we can't be good enough. The only way to the Father is through the Son. If we accept Jesus as our Savior, our souls are sealed. I believe we can't ever lose our salvation because we never earned it in the first place. Jesus, our Savior, is a gift from God. Let's look at Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I've still got the King James ingrained in my brain. Have you guys ever heard the story about Tim Tebow in John 3:16? His senior year in Florida, they were doing well, and under his eyes, he would put Philippians 4:13 for most of the year. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They were doing well, and that verse was showing up everywhere, but nobody knew what it meant. Tim said a guy came up to him and said, "My name's Phil, is that for me? And what's 4:13 all about?" But for the championship game, he changed it to John 3:16. And 94 million people Googled that verse during that game. Fast forward 3 years later, he's in a playoff game with the Denver Broncos against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, John 3:16 during that game was Googled 90 million times. Tim says, "How in the world can that many people not know what that means? I learned that in Sunday school." But after the game, they ended up going on to win in overtime. Tim found out that he threw in that game for exactly 316 yards. His average run per carry was 3.16 yards. His average completion throw was 31.6 yards per throw. Time of possession was 31 minutes and 6 seconds. And the ratings for the game were 31.6. Think that's a coincidence? I say there are no coincidences. And I haven't found the word luck yet in the Bible myself. Tim didn't know during that game God was working through him. And sometimes we don't realize God is working through us. Back to Jesus. One day Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God in total peace and beautiful music in heaven. Next, he's here. He does many miracles, fulfills the prophecies, does nothing wrong, no sins, and yet for everyone's sins, he's betrayed and takes a beating. Likely with a whip with multiple leather ends on it, likely with little metal ends on it to tear his flesh. He lets them pound stakes through his hands and through the top of his feet, all with the power to summon angels to stop or kill them all if he wanted. I don't know if I'd want to pass that test. I understand what kills you when you're crucified is you can't breathe. You have to pull up with your hands and push up with your feet just to get a breath. You finally just get exhausted and die. But I think the worst part was right before he died, that every sin that had ever been committed, all the sins going on at that time, all the sins that were ever going to happen, including ours, including the ones we haven't even done yet, all hit him at once. He was separated from God just for that moment. That's probably when he cried out, "Oh, Father, why have you forsaken me?" And then he died. And if that was the end of the story, Jesus could have been considered one of the many great prophets or religious leaders of all time. But on that third day, he conquered death and rose again. We have a living God. And the cross is important, but we should focus on the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what separates Christianity from every other religion. Jesus didn't merely claim, "I am the resurrection and the life." He proved it by rising from the dead. There's millions of Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, atheists, Buddha himself didn't consider himself a god and wasn't considered one until after he died. But they say he was trying to figure out the way. I heard Billy Graham say that Buddha, at the end of his life, was still searching for one thing he couldn't ever find. It was the truth. I've read other things that said, no, he found the truth, and the truth was the life. You know where this was going. Who's the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I understand the Buddhists believe you get reincarnated when you die, but I don't find any peace and rest thinking I'd wake up and be a cow or whatever. Many religions are based on advanced beings that came from the sky and imparted knowledge. But again, I find no peace in thinking I'd wake up with some advanced beings or aliens. I've got no understanding how the atheists ever have peace and rest, just thinking they would die and that's it. But how blessed are we? We live here in the U.S. We're free to worship. All we have to do is to know you're going to heaven is accept Jesus in our hearts. In the old days, in the Old Testament, Andrew helped me in Bible study finding there were 613 rules to follow before Jesus came. 613. We can't even follow the Ten Commandments. We just accept Jesus as Savior, but we have to do it before we die, and we don't know when that's going to be. Anybody else watch the alternative halftime show during the Super Bowl? Kid Rock sang the country song by Cody Johnson, Till You Can't. You can go fishing with your dad till you can't. You can take that phone call from your mama till you can't. He said God woke him up in the middle of the night and gave him another verse. You can accept Jesus until you can't. I could add another line to that myself. You could ask that loved one, friend, that person in your life, if they ever accepted Jesus, till you can't. You ever been like me at that showing or funeral, or just wondered if they were really in heaven, but we don't know because we didn't ask? And we don't have much time. We are only mist in the wind. Time for my second prop here. James 4:13 through 17 says, Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go out to this or that city, spend a year, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Squirt that one more time. I mean, whether if you live a day or 100 years, you know, I couldn't tell a big difference on the first mist that went away and that last one compared to eternity. I always wonder how big God's squirt bottle is too, but I wonder if it's getting down towards the bottom and how many mists are left, but only He knows that. When John asks if I'll do a message, I know not to ask him what to talk about. He just says whatever's on your heart. Reminds me of in school, if I had speech or a paper to write, I could write it if they told me what to write about, but if they said do it on whatever you want, I struggled. But John knows what he's doing. He's trying to challenge all of us in our relationship with God and following Jesus. What's on my heart is everybody seeking peace and rest, but trying everything but Jesus. I turned on the news the other day and surprised there was a shooting. This one was in Bloomington, and after everybody cleared, a reporter goes up and puts the microphone in front of somebody's house, and he's like, there's got to be something different. In the U.S., surely there's something better than all this happening all the time. There's got to be something. Anybody got any ideas? I want to end with a very positive close. I'm going to jump around a little, and I know there's more context to all verses before and after them. I do like the positive messages. John says, who wouldn't like only hearing the positive side? But don't worry, I did grow up Baptist, and the good and scary were all well covered. I'm well aware there are many rules to obey, and that God can lose his patience. He did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought the angel of death, the great flood. And yes, I've read Revelations. Towards the beginning, Jesus is in all his glory with the red eyes and the sharp double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. No wonder the demons shadow when Jesus is around or shudder. One of the last verses in Revelations can be scary and tough. Revelations 22:18 through 19. I want everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, I warn them, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this scroll. Man tries to tell us all kinds of things. He's always telling us everything is millions and billions of years old. Things like same-sex marriage is okay, on and on and on. So much of it is not what the Bible says. And everyone here has people in their lives that they love and care about very much that are being influenced by man that are not Scripture. We don't want people mad at us or to block us out of their lives, but we can't just pick things out here and there that man doesn't agree with, and we can't add anything. There's always been good and evil. The Garden of Eden had the forbidden tree and Satan around tempting to eat it. When I grew up, all the cartoons had the little angel and the little devil both whispering in your ear. Another example I like is we all have two dogs, a good dog and a bad dog. And the question is, which dog are you feeding? One more I heard was, we are all wired to worship. The question is, what are you worshiping? Even Paul, that wrote most of the New Testament, struggled and wrestled. I'll paraphrase him, but he said, why do I keep doing the things I don't want to do and not do the things I want to do? So let's wrap up with peace and rest. There's somewhere around 27 verses telling us not to worry. Worry and anxiety are weapons used by Satan. There's somewhere around over 70 verses saying, fear not and be not afraid. If somebody's judging us or does us wrong, we don't need to judge them or take care of revenge. God will do that for us. In fact, he warns not to take revenge. Romans 12:17 through 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. When you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you and forgets it for his own sake. Let's look at Psalms 103:12. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. We don't need to keep asking forgiveness for the same things over and over. Only good things come from God. So when those old sin reminders come over and over about the same old things, we have to recognize that's coming from Satan. Tell him in the name of Jesus to get out. He's not welcome. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's thousands of awesome promises from God. Most popular, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And my last verse is my current favorite one. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So whatever you're doing, even if it's something you don't want to do, try to find a way to rejoice. Remember from our beginning today in John 15, God wants his joy in us. Pray continuously. God wants a relationship with all of us. Even though he's all-knowing and already knows everything, he wants to hear from us about everything. I hear people say, what is it God really wants me to do? Accept Jesus as your Savior and try to follow him. Focus on him and all else will fall in line. To close, keep Jesus in you and ask Jesus to give you peace and rest. If you have to, get a piece of rope to remind you. So that's done. You've got peace and rest. Don't worry ever again. Give it to God. There, that's done. Fear not and be not afraid. Check that off. Don't worry about judging anybody or revenge. That's God's job. So that's done. Repent of our sins and know you are forgiven and God has forgot about it. What a relief. And thank God in all situations and for all his promises. One of my favorite songs is Standing on the Promises of God. I want to repeat 1 Thessalonians one more time. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So please stand and we'll do the Lord's Prayer, and I'll dismiss us in prayer. If we can say trespasses, because that's what's ingrained in my brain. If anyone needs special prayer, after the shepherd team will be up here and available. Lord, thank you for Jesus our Savior, for wanting a relationship with us and all your promises, for the lasting peace and rest only Jesus can bring. Please give us wisdom and courage in all matters. Fill everybody here to the very top with the Holy Spirit. Please hear all our individual prayers, and please bless each and every one here during this upcoming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed. Good job, man. Thank you.